Father, we come today and we realize that you know our every heart. You know the condition of every heart, every individual, and every church. And you know that the pressures of this world today are such as to encourage cooling. And so we come to you today and ask that we would not be of those who are cooling, and that we would not be of those who are lukewarm, but that we would be of those who are hot in our relationship with you. And we pray that you'll work in our hearts through your word today, and that you'll give us an earnest desire, a fervent desire, which would be a hot desire, to be brought closer to you, to be brought in closer fellowship, and to be more, to use an old phrase, on fire for you. Take now your word and use it in our hearts, in our individual hearts, we pray today in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. No, today's message is not about global warming. In talking about the time that we're living in, Jesus had a couple of things to say, which I've put at the top of the note sheet. And by the way, now would be a good time to get that out if you're going to fill in the blanks today. But watch. That means to be alert, to be on your guard, to be paying attention. But watch yourselves. He didn't say watch everybody else. He said watch yourselves. And he's talking to his own followers here when he says this. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. And then he says in Matthew 24:12 of this time, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Some of the more modern translations there say the love of most will grow cold. And I think that's based on the fact that in the original Greek, there's a definite article there. And what it actually says, the love of the many will grow cold. It has been my experience that many people cool off in their walk with the Lord. It has been my experience that many of those that I knew in youth today are not walking as close to the Lord as they did at one time. I would venture that every single one of us that are here today know people that at one time were on fire for the Lord, were in church every time the doors opened, were involved in ministry, had an active prayer life, and today they still believe, but you rarely see them in the house of the Lord. And at different times, that might actually be us. Because everything in the world is geared toward cooling off the believer. Everything is against it. If we want a hot relationship with the Lord, we have to pursue it. It isn't going to come to us. It isn't going to happen automatically. We have to be in pursuit of it. How many here have ever had a fireplace or a wood-burning stove? And the way you keep the fire burning is you have to tend it. How many know that fires have to be tended? Every now and then you have to go in there with that thing. Is it called a poker or something? I don't know what it's called. And you have to stir it around a little bit. And every now and then you have to throw another log on the fire. Why do we think that in our Christian life we can keep doing the same old stuff and somehow our relationship with the Lord is going to improve if we're not actually intentionally taking steps in order for that to happen? And yet we get complacent and life takes over. But I guarantee you, everything is toward cooling. Unless the fire is being tended, unless it is actively being tended, the fire in all of us. That's just the way that we're made. I tell you what, you can have a pot on the stove, a pot of soup or stew or whatever. We had some of the best potato soup last night. Woo! Like Ray Westmoreland says, it'll make you happy. And it can be boiling hot. But you just turn the fire off and let it set for about 3 hours. Now here's the question. You have a pot, and it's been boiling, and you turn the fire off, and you check on it 5 minutes later. Does it still look hot? Of course it does. It doesn't look like it's cooled off a bit. Go back in 20 minutes. Does it still look hot? Sure it does. Go back in about 45 minutes. It may still seem to be pretty hot. But you see, the cooling process is something that is what? Gradual. And so, it can sneak up on you. And so, other things come in, and we've been real, you know, regular about our prayer, or our Bible reading, or being in the Lord's house, and then just one day something happens. The furnace breaks and we don't make it to church that day, or this or that happens, visitors come, or this or that happens, and then the next time it's just a little bit easier, and there's always a reason. How many know that? There's always a reason. Hey, if we're looking for a reason to stay home, we can always find one. I'm never looking for a reason to stay home. But we can always justify. But the point is that all of us know people that have cooled off. I can't even tell you the number of people I know that at one time were fervent for the Lord and grew cool in their walk. And you add to that all the people I've known over the years, some of which are now in glory. But I mean, it's an atrocious. I mean, my goodness, if you had everybody, even today, if we had everybody here that at one time was here and on fire for the Lord, this place would be full today. Am I right? Now, those people aren't here. So unless somebody gives them a CD or they go online, they're not going to hear today's sermon. But we're here. And this is the year 2015, and it's a new year. And the same old pressures are going to be out there, and the same old little traps, the same old little subtle things are going to be out there to gradually try to, not as we used to say, totally backslide or totally turn our backs. And no, it's much more subtle than that. We're just not on fire like we used to be. But unless I misread verses 14 to 22 of Revelation chapter 3, the Lord wants me hot. He doesn't want me warm, even. And he definitely doesn't want me lukewarm. There's something about the lukewarm state that turns his stomach. And so I just was thinking, you know, well, really, it's just look, anyway, we just look around. We see people, and it's not intentional, and it's not ill-intentioned or anything else, but we see people cooling off in their relationship with the Lord. The symptoms are all there. And I don't want that to be me in 2015. And I hope you don't want that to be you in 2015. Now, that doesn't mean that just because, say, we're here every time the doors open, that automatically that means that everything is right. But it is one of several things, just symptoms, you know. That's one thing. But our relationship with the Lord, it's only going to be as current as we keep it. And so Jesus said, watch yourselves. That's what he says. It says it right here. Watch yourselves. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness. And you say, well, I'm not weighed down with that. How about cares of this life? Does that get you? If the other two don't, that last one will. Because we all have cares of this life, do we not? We have stuff. And I mean, there's a lot of it's legitimate. But we can't let it stand in the way of us pursuing our daily walk with the Lord and our relationship with Him. And if we're not moving closer, then in all likelihood, we're drifting. How many ever been out on a boat, head boat or something? And we're out there, right, and they cut that motor. We're out there with the lines and all that. And you don't think the boat's drifting, but it is. That's why every few minutes he revs up that motor, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? Because he's trying to get us, because we've already drifted and didn't even know it. And that's how it is. We're not really aware of it when it's happening. It's not really a conscious thing. And then one day we look and it's like, whoa, I thought we were over there. Well, we were over there, but we drifted. All right. What are some of the things that contribute to cooling? We've got a few verses there for those who care to look them up later, but here are some, and these all have God's word tells us these things are there. All right, number one, the allure of the world. That's always a big one. It must have existed in Jesus' day. It must have existed in John's day because John wrote about it and he said, don't love the world and don't love the things that are in the world because everything that's in the world, and then he started naming the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, they are not of the Father but of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the allure of the world is always there and it's never been greater. Today we are such a visual society and you know, some of that stuff that's out there is okay and it's good, and some of it may even be good and may be Christian and may build us up. But the world is just the allure of the world. I mean, just the world. It's not necessarily real evil stuff, but the allure of the world. It will eat up our time. It will eat up our concentration. It will eat up. We're not out there doing anything evil, but at the same time, those are the things we're focused on. Those are the things we're talking about. Those are the things that we're you know, our lives a lot of times revolve around. And so the allure of the world is always there, and it is always pulling at us, and it is not pulling us closer to the Lord. It is pulling us further from the Lord. And it doesn't have to be something wicked or overtly evil, but just something that's taking up our time and our attention and isn't productive and is drawing us away. That's always going to be there. Number two, now this is a big one. This is a big one for any of us. Unresolved sin. If we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we have these little things in our lives and we haven't come around to admitting them. We haven't come around to confessing them to the Lord. We haven't gotten them literally under the blood. We haven't lost our salvation, but we've got some outstanding stuff out there. If you have a whole lot of dust on one of your lampshades, how long will the dust stay on that lampshade? Until you go over there and remove it with a dust rag or something, right? Well, that's the way it is. And stuff accumulates. And we ignore it. We just kind of, you know, and unresolved sin. It doesn't have to be big stuff, but unresolved sin. Sin always leads us, that's just the nature of it. Any kind of unresolved sin in our lives is in some way going to distance us in our relationship with the Lord. And so it's very important that we keep our accounts current. Number three, other pursuits. And we get all, it's good to be ambitious and it's good to have goals, but we get one thing I hear all the time, we overcommit, or we get our schedule so full, or we have a certain ambition, something we want to, and we do. I'm sorry, but we do. In order to meet certain goals, we kind of put our spiritual lives on hold. Well, in about 3 months, I'll be ready to do this, but right now, this is the priority. Anytime something else is a priority other than the Lord, even if it's for 90 days, I have to think that it's detrimental to us. We cannot allow something else to displace the things that belong only to the Lord. The Lord said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but render unto the Lord what is the Lord's. And if I allow other pursuits to so consume my time and my schedule that I'm actually putting, the essential things of my walk with the Lord on hold, even for a limited time, that means that for that period of time, that has displaced the Lord in my life. That is not a good thing, and it's not. And if we do it once, here's the other danger. If we do it once, it'll be easier to do it again. Well, we always tell ourselves, it's only for a limited time. And pretty soon we have a whole bunch of serial limited times on our hands. Last time it was this, this time it is this. And the old enemy, he'll make sure that you're supplied with plenty of things. Number four, cares of daily life. Just that alone. Bills to pay. Figuring out Obamacare. Changing the baby's diapers. I mean, on and on and on and on. Just the cares of daily life. Tax day and tax preparation and this and that and the other. Well, some of these things, they're legit and they're needed and all that. But Jesus said, beware lest you get weighed down. Beware lest your hearts get weighed down with the cares of daily life. So these things need to be addressed in their time, and the Lord expects us to be responsible and all of that. But we can't let the cares of daily life kind of be running our lives. It's kind of like at that point, then we're being led along by circumstances instead of being in charge of those circumstances. It's called setting priorities, folks. And if we're not setting priorities, and especially in the area of our spiritual life, then we're just drifting. I don't know any other way to put it. Carelessness, Hebrews 2:1. Careless in what way? Just careless. Just not really paying attention. How many of you have ever been out on the highway and you realize that the driver next to you just isn't really paying attention? Huh? It's called carelessness. That's what it's called. And in Hebrews, which is a book of exhortation, and today's message is pretty much a message of exhortation. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. The stuff we already know and have heard. But we got to pay more careful attention so that we do not drift away. So even though we're hearing it, and even though we know it, if we're not paying closer attention, he says we will drift away. Carelessness. Six, laziness, complacency. My dad used to have a phrase, plain old laziness. Plain old laziness. And I'm sorry, but sometimes, why don't I read my Bible daily? It might be plain old laziness. Why don't I make time for prayer? Is prayer easy? But what I mean is it work? Prayer's work. So sometimes, you know, and complacency. We just get complacent. You know, I'm okay, I'm fine, you know, everything, we're fine. And so we get lazy and we get complacent. And any of us can fall into that. Number 7, this will make us cool off. Allowing faults of others to cause us to stumble. You say, well, how would that cause me to cool off? Oh, because when I focus on the faults of others, and that causes me to stumble, then yeah, it causes me to distance myself from the Lord. I can't even tell you in the years of my ministry how many people have said to me, yeah, I used to be in church, but then there was this hypocrite down there, and they did this and they did that, and I'm like, I don't want any part of this. So now all of a sudden they're holy because they withdrew from the Lord's house because there was a hypocrite down there. My word. I wonder how many local congregations there are in the whole United States of North America that don't have any hypocrites in them. But causing, you know, stumbling at the faults of others. He says, watch for yourselves. Hey, I can't control other people's decisions. But how many remember that old song? I'm on my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way, praise the Lord. I'm on my way. If the preacher don't go, don't hinder me. If the preacher don't go, don't hinder me. If the preacher don't go, don't hinder me. I'm on my way, praise the Lord. I'm on my way. If the deacon don't go, don't hinder me. And it goes on and on. If the worship leader don't go, if the Sunday school teacher don't go, we could go all the way down that list. But the point of that song is, I'm going on with the Lord no matter what anybody else does. How many think that's a good policy? And of course, then we also, that can overlap into I've been wronged by someone. And because I've been wronged by them, I've got this grudge I'm carrying. And it's very, very scriptural that anytime I'm carrying a grudge, I can't be but so close to the Lord, because I need to have my accounts cleared with others in order for my accounts with Him to be perfectly clear as well. So that's an area for us in Psalm 37, 1 and 2, don't fret over evildoers. You know, hey, if they repent, praise the Lord will receive them. If they never do, He'll take care of it. But let's not stumble at the faults of others. And then number 8, a controversy with God. The Lord didn't treat me right on that one. The Lord wasn't fair to me on that one, and we have a little bone to pick with the Lord. We're actually mad at God. David Wilkerson wrote a little devotional book one time, one of his lesser known works, just a little book, I'm Not Mad at God. And it was just about such issues. And I imagine just about all of us have gone through little periods like that. And it's real easy. I just don't understand this. So, you know, I'm mad at God because of this or because of that. I prayed for this and the Lord didn't do it or whatever. And this type of thing just delights the devil, because nothing will come between me and the Lord quicker than having a bone to pick with Him. There comes a time when we just have to say, Lord, I love you, period. Does he love you unconditionally? Yes, he does. My goodness. And is he wiser than I am? Yes, he is. Does he know more than I do? Yes, he does. Is he more powerful than I am? Yes, he is. And so I need to let it go and say, Lord, how many remember a song from many years ago that had a phrase in it, we'll understand it better by and by when the morning comes. We'll understand it better by and by. There are some things we're never going to fully understand. We have to take it by faith and say, Lord, even though I don't understand this now, I know that you know best. And I know that even if this is something painful for me right now or somebody I know that you're able to give us the grace to get through it. But we know that you have a plan, and we know that you have a purpose. How many know that verse? And I think I wrote on it a couple months ago. He causes all things to work together for good. To who? To those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. And so there used to be a song also many years ago, you don't hear much anymore, nothing between my soul and the Savior. No unconfessed sin, no grudge holding, no controversy with God, no other things, no other relationships or pursuits coming in to be more important in my life than my relationship with the Lord. Because I tell you what, everything else flows from that relationship with him. Everything else. And whatever else there may be or not be, anything that's legitimate in our lives is going to be better if our relationship with him is right. And everything else, and even the material things, if our relationship with him is right, and all of that is right, and all of that, even that is going to be more blessed than it is the other way. But the danger is, again, that we just drift, and that without hardly being aware of it, we just kind of get slack. And I think a lot of times it's just that slackness or whatever is a bigger enemy to our spiritual life than any known, because a lot of us might say, no, I won't stumble on that, or, you know, the big stuff, and we're able to handle that. But just the little slackness or whatever can just quickly lead us to a point where we're just not. We're just not where we were with the Lord. And there, and we look around, we may see many others drifting and so forth. So my prayer this year would be, Lord, just get us on fire for you. And I'll tell you one thing, and this is the thing I'm going to close with. Nobody, wherever you see a person who is really on fire for the Lord, whether it's yourself or somebody else, that does not happen without the active involvement of the Holy Spirit. He is the fire. Fire fell from heaven. John said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but there's one coming behind me who is more mighty than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I'll tell you what, when the Holy Spirit really gets active and gets involved in our lives, he's going to lead us into God's truth. He's going to lead us to prayer if we're led by the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead us into close communion with the Lord. And it's not going to happen without the involvement of the Holy Spirit. But may the Lord increase our heatedness for him this year. And may he use us to then be an influence to others. When we light these candles at the Christmas Eve service, how do the candles, people out there and their candles get lit, how do their candles get lit? from somebody else's candle, right? There you go. And that the Lord would use us that way in somebody else's life, that we would be on fire ourselves, because fire, one thing about it, it's got to be fed and it's got to have fuel. But fire does spread, doesn't it? Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you today, Lord, and as we look around and we see many hard hearts, we see many cold hearts. You predicted this. You said that because iniquity or because lawlessness will increase and abound, that the love of many will grow cold. A lot of people will cool off. And Lord, we just pray this year that we won't be among those individually, that we won't be among those as a church body, but that we will be on fire for you. Lord, help us daily to keep you first, and help us to pursue the things, Lord, that are going to bring us closer to you. And Lord, that it would be, we would be so on fire for you that nobody really would be able to miss it, and that other lives, that it would be catching, and that other lives, Lord, would also be influenced by this and brought into your kingdom because of this. We pray this for ourselves, and we pray this for your people all over the world, that this year would be a year, in spite of everything that's going on, that the fire would spread, because your people are on fire for you. That's our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.